going to call our, I think it's our third October meeting, so we're...
Yes, it is.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
I've had a couple of questions as to why we're having a third meeting here, and since it is budget time, there's some items that have come up that we want to have involved in the budget resolution. That's why we're here this evening. And we have another one here on our agenda that isn't, or didn't need to be, but since we're here, this is three items that we're going to take up this evening. It will not be a four-hour meeting, so if people have to get, especially to the Finance Committee, you'll have ample time. So roll call, John O'Day is excused, he's traveling, had a planned vacation time. I believe the rest of us are here, Noel Youth and Governance.
You had emailed, so you're not able to attend, Michael. Emailed his apologies, you're not attending.
Okay. So approval of the minutes of the previous meeting, that would be our October 10th meeting. You all had a chance to look at those. Any comments, or do we have a motion to approve those?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Bostrom, seconded by Supervisor Grady to approve the minutes of the October 10th meeting. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those are approved. So I already gave you my lead into the meeting. The only comment I'll have is I've been hinting at a couple of things that were upcoming, and that's why we're mainly here this evening, and that is the discussion and an overview of the future plan of beer garden at the Petrified Springs Park. This is something that I was approached early in the summer with, and went to Ray, went to the county executive with it. We have the gentlemen here this evening that are going to give us a presentation, and we want to have the language in the budget resolution to be able to enable the county board to approve something like this. So that's why we're here. Any supervisors, anything, comments, reports? Citizens' comments would be next. If any citizens wish to address the committee, they would have 5 minutes on any issue pertinent to this committee. Seeing no citizens here, Ray will move on to you. Public Works.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'll give an overview of kind of, as the chairman already indicated, he was approached a few months ago by a former, actually, county board member, and there was a couple of gentlemen that had an interest in establishing a beer garden in County Park, similar, if anybody's been to the ones in Milwaukee County. There's, I think, four up there, and they're of various varieties. Gentlemen had approached, we sat down, got an initial concept from them. It's Mike Grabowski and Tony DiBartolo are the two gentlemen that will have give a little bit of a presentation overview of things. We were very cautious because, of course, these kinds of things, they're a government entity, so we're going to approach these things pretty cautiously. But as we investigated it and actually took a road trip, that was a necessary thing, to go up to Milwaukee County to check things out, we found out that these are, in fact, as presented by the two gentlemen, very family friendly. This is not quarter pitcher night at a local saloon. It's not at all what this thing is about. It's really to kind of create an old school German beer garden type of a concept, and they've got a few in Milwaukee County. So county executive was even more cautious when we presented it to him. We actually talked him into, he was in Milwaukee for a meeting. We said, well, why don't you check out one of the beer gardens while we're there? Matt's very comfortable with the concept, having worked for Milwaukee County Parks. So he knows a lot about how these things work and how they work very effectively when done correctly. County executive came away from the visit to the beer gardens very enthused. It was a Monday night. And you'd think on a Monday night, things would be totally dead. We got there about 3:30, and by 5 o'clock, there was already about 20 to 30 people that were showing up, mainly with little kids that were playing at a playground. Mom and dad would sit down. There was no band that night, at least not when we were there. But you could see they had a small stage for an oompa-type band, German-type music. Very well done. The food had a German theme. It's trying to really recreate that kind of an ambiance. Jim was, or the county executive was very positive about it. So he said, "Okay, what do we have to do to actually make this happen?" Well, one of the first things is the way our county ordinance handles beer sales and beer in general in the parks is that the only people that can sell beer, you can sell beer in our parks, but it has to be a county staff person is how it's written, as you saw in the ordinance as the way it's currently is, which actually poses problems when we do have like our Oktoberfest in Old Settlers. When we do that, the parks staff, Nick and the past John, these guys would work incredible hours over the weekend because we couldn't have, there was plenty of volunteers from the Kiwanis that would have been able to do it, but couldn't based on how the ordinance works. So he said, you know what, this is a good opportunity to get the ordinance updated so that we can, under contractual arrangements, allow for beer sales in our parks. But again, it would have to be in a very, very strict and limited kind of a fashion. Via contract. So that was what we did. We went to John Moyer, the core counsel. He basically drafted the language, and that's what you've got before you. Supervisor Grady had called us earlier today and made a slight tweak to the language that was sent to you in the packets over the weekend. There was one additional line, and I think Wendy handed that out to everybody or sent it out. So the very last line in that has been added. That just says, this agreement shall be subject to revocation by Kenosha County at any time without prior notification. That language was added. But otherwise, that language in its entirety is what's being proposed to be included as a modification to the existing ordinance. That's kind of the nuts and bolts of it. If it's appropriate at this time, Mr. Chairman, I'd have the two gentlemen, Mike and Tony, give an overview of kind of their concept of what they're looking at.
Obviously, all of you in front of you have the renderings that we're going to be speaking on up here. The first rendering here, this is Pavilion 1 at Petrifying Springs. If you're familiar with that, the dog park is somewhere over here, and then right here is kind of that softball diamond area. So what we had envisioned was this area here, and I think it comes up to about 30,000 square feet of usable space within this area. Adding some trees to that area, picnic tables, and things of that nature. Inside, we would do food sales inside. We also have picnic tables in there, weather permitting. You know, people would be able to come in there as well and do that. Kind of over here, I mean, obviously a lot of these are kind of the same thing, just various views. Providing bike racks, obviously KR bike clubs coming through there a lot of people just, you know, doing everyday bike riding through there. In the Milwaukee County ones, I was looking at, I drove by one this summer and there was probably over 100 bikes there, so people are using other ways of transportation to get there, whether it be car, bikes, walking. Some of the ones in Milwaukee actually have boat slip areas to come up on and stuff like that. So off the backside here, we had anticipated a kitchen area on the inside here. This would be a service area with lines going, I believe that would be to the east. So people congregating here, so they were not congregating on the bike path and interfering with, you know, everyday people kind of walking through that area. I mean, that's kind of the overview. I mean, it's a pretty basic concept. I mean, picnic tables, gathering space for people to enjoy with families and stuff like that. So nothing overly complex about it.
We also have a copy of the our first rendering of the menu that we put together.
And the idea with the menu, the way the ones, you know, they work, some work a little bit differently in Milwaukee. There's the Esserbrook one, which is a authentic German one. So they do German beer, German food. All the tables are shipped in from Germany, so that's a very authentic one. Our idea would be to support local brewers. So as you can see on the menu, we have Public Craft Brewery, which is downtown. We have Rustic Road, and there's a couple other ones opening in the Kenosha area. So it would be our idea to cycle in local beers from not only local community, but throughout the state as well. So keeping with that local theme, locally sourced sausages, you know, so trying to support the community in any way we can, and not trying to go to big box type stuff or doing any of that. So the way the beverage menu works, they serve liter beers in the big glass steins. I don't know if you've seen those in movies or, you know, wherever, but it's a large glass mug, and then there's a half liter, half the size. So people will have the option to get either size. They place a deposit down. Basically, that deposit just covers us for loss of that. They cost about $5 to $6 a piece. So they'll pay the deposit, they'll buy their beer. When they're done, they'll return the glass and get the deposit back. So on the perimeter also, we will have kind of city ordinance, county ordinance signs, you know, kind of outlining the area that they cannot go beyond. If they go beyond that area, you know, same rules apply that if they were in the city or the park somewhere, they can be ticketed for leaving those permitted areas.
Maybe you might talk a little bit about the demographics. You talked about like kind of what you see as typical.
Yeah,
folks
demographics. So I live up in Milwaukee. So I've been to several of those before. I've seen everything. Tony and I went one day. There was a group of probably 70 to 75 year olds just sitting in the park middle of the day, drinking, and you know, enjoying some food and snacks. There was a gentleman carrying a baby. I just happened to be carrying my daughter at the same time, and we were just kind of talking. We were just kind of like, isn't it great that we have the opportunity to kind of get out of the house a little bit? You know, we don't have to go to a bar, but you know, kids can still play on a playground nearby. You can still, you know, you can still see them. So I think demographic-wise, our intentions are not that 21, you know, that 21, fresh out of college, you know, that type of crowd. It's 30 to anywhere from, you know, up to 70. So, you know, I don't think it really, you know, turns away any crowd for that matter. It will turn away those young kids just because price points, obviously, and we're not looking to have kids sit there and, you know, drink. That's not the purpose of it, you know, so.
Mike, maybe give a little bit of your background, your local connections, and Tony, yours as well, what you've got in town already.
Yeah, well, I live up in Milwaukee. I ran restaurants up there forever, and I have a restaurant on the north side of Kenosha right now. Been open for about 2 years, and so I'm very familiar with restaurant business. Been in it for 20 years now. So have a well-versed background in what things to expect, what not to expect. Tony's on the other side of the business.
I've born and raised in Kenosha. My parents had a pizza shop, deli, down on 7th Avenue for 27 plus years. And now I currently manage a group of salespeople that sell food to restaurants. So I've been doing that for the last 17 years.
So again, when these guys approached us, we talked the concept through. We haven't negotiated in great detail with them at all yet. We've got some basic understanding of what they'd be looking for this to be successful. And it would require them to make a significant investment in the property, investment that would stay as part of the property. And then they'd also have to put some additional investment in to stuff that would be mobile, the kitchen equipment and things like that. So they're looking at this very realistically. We aren't reinventing the wheel here. This really is patterned after how at least one of the parks works in Milwaukee County. We have a copy of the contract. They provided it to us. Matt had it as well because he's got contacts set. So we thought this would be a good opportunity to, one, modify the ordinance so that we could better manage even events like our Oktoberfest. It would also allow us to enter in contract negotiations with these guys to really see if something like this would be viable. It appears it would add value to the park. The revenues generated, we haven't, you know, decided the exact amount, but the way the one works in Milwaukee County, there was upfront investment by the restaurant group that runs that particular beer garden, and then they pay a percentage of their gross revenues to the park as well, which is used for upgrades in the park. So when done properly, it can be a really beautiful thing. We went to the Estabrook one the night we went up there, and it really is an awesome, very, very cool, hip in an old school kind of way thing. And it's Mike is the target audience. I mean, him and his family. Right when we were starting to talk, Joe Patente from Kenosha News called Jenny like a week after we had talked to her. He had gone up there. He's got two little kids. He's, 35 probably. He's got twins. They were up there, and he was raving to Jenny about the beer garden that he had been to in Milwaukee County. He said, well, we actually were just approached by a couple of guys about wanting to set one up here. Other communities I know have struggled. I think it was Waukesha County went out for an RFP to try to get something like this going, and they didn't get any responses. So the fact that these two guys came to us, we thought this was really a good opportunity to make a change to the ordinance and at least give it a shot.
Question?
Yes. What are the hours of operation going to be?
Hours of operation, 7 days a week, 11 a.m., and then park closes at
10.
So 9 p.m. So we can have everything cleaned up, ready to go, and get out of there so they can.
Have you given much thought to Parkside being right down the road? Is that a positive, negative? Do you see that being an issue for Parkside at all with their students?
I see there as
anything, anybody from our side or their side, given that some consideration?
When I was first approached by its former supervisor, Mark Molinaro, partners in design, that and Mark and I go way back, 20-some years together on the county board. Mark knows the demographics of the area. I had been to three of them in Milwaukee County, and I saw a positive because I look at it like the jazz bands and the bands that play at Kemper Center. I look at it as a quality of life thing for Kenosha County residents. It's identical to what happens at Kemper Center out in the between the Anderson Center. And when I was there, $10 a beer kind of weeds out a lot of college students.
Yes.
You don't really have to worry about that. You're looking at the people that are going to spend $20 for a bottle of wine out at Kemper. You're looking not to make a huge amount of money. This is a partnership, public-private, just like we do at Pringle, that just benefits the community. Now, when I talked to Ray about it, you know, I was a little hesitant to see how the county executive, how the parks department felt and wanted to handle something like this. Matt had experience with Milwaukee County. He just came to us from Milwaukee County, so he knows this. And naturally, Ray and the county executive put Matt to work on it. And if done properly, these gentlemen make a profit, and the residents, and I told Mark Molinaro, the first conversation we had, I said, Mark, the only place that makes sense is out at Pest, because you don't have any population at any of our other parks to support. I think it would be supported out there, but I don't think you have to worry about the college students. Because I remember writing checks when I was a student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 1971 for 75 cents. So, and that was for a beef. So I don't see $11 beers coming out of too many. But
okay.
That's just my 2 cents, but go ahead.
A couple more questions. Well, they're $5 beers, right, not $10?
No. So there's two sizes.
Gotcha. And I was just curious if that was an issue. But how much is what's in this drawing, the amount of land that you will be occupying, or would you want more land around the outside? Are you going to bring in bands and musical acts, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we look at this as a progression. Obviously, on our part, there's going to be a huge upfront investment on kind of renovating the building and stuff like that. But we do look at it as an additional revenue center. You know, we don't anticipate beer and, you know, food being our only thing. You know, we want to do, like, you know, you said you guys do like a Oktoberfest or bike ride thing, you know, collaborating on stuff like that, as well as on Sundays possibly doing like a, because it's a softball field, Sermon on the Mount or something, where it's a church type thing, movie night, jazz in the park type thing. So
yeah, so the amount of land here is not limited from our end.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a diagram to give us a perspective. It could go more depending on what type of activities we have, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want a clarity.
Yeah, we don't want to extend it too far where it becomes like unmanageable or stuff.
And I'm not against that. I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
I just want to have a concept. The last thing I want to say, and Steve, you can jump in then, is the bike path here.
Yes.
The building, is that already as close to the bike path as it shows in this drawing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything in your building that you propose that's, like, are you serving from that side?
No.
No.
So,
okay.
The road, okay, so this is the bike path
right
here. This is currently an entrance to that pavilion. We had anticipated service on this side right here. So we'd have a beer trailer cooler right here, and then we'd serve off this way. There's also entrances on two areas on this side.
Okay.
So people can come in and service for food.
Right, my concern was just that with the bike path, and I've taken that path, I've ridden my bike there once, and, you know, the speed when they're coming in, is there going to be someone standing there and we're going to have some type of collision
right
or something? So
we wanted
you won't be serving there.
No. Fence this area by the bike path, we want that fence somewhat so people cannot exit there or enter there. So they're kept over in this area. And then on this side, there'll be bike racks that people can pull off the bike path, put their bikes there, and stuff like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Supervisor Basham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Out of curiosity, what restaurant do you operate?
Graham's Burger Bar.
Graham's. I thought that might be the place. The group that's going to be running this, it's a partnership between you two and other players.
Yeah, it's separate.
So, but it's you guys.
Yeah, Tim and I. Yeah.
As it relates to the building itself, I know you mentioned that there's going to be a capital investment by this partnership group. I assume that we have the infrastructure in the way of natural gas and enough electrical power to the building to be able to accommodate this?
That's some of what would be the investment in infrastructure.
Okay.
It actually is that grease trap. There's sewer to the building, but there isn't a grease trap. There's electrical service, but it probably wouldn't be adequate. So they've already got some estimates on those kinds of things in terms of infrastructure. That's why we say that's stuff that they'd be investing in would stay with the building.
Okay. So there's sewer to the building. Is there water, municipal water, or is it well?
It's well.
That's is it well?
Yes.
And
that's right next to the ball field, so you have basically the bleachers. So on the rendering right over there, it would be on the left-hand side.
Right here, there's water.
And that's fine as is to accommodate this kind of traffic that we...
It should be with the right equipment. It should be fine. They might have to put in some deionization or something like that to make sure it doesn't goo up their equipment that they're going to have. But yeah, that's part of the investment in making it suitable for what it is they need to do.
And the washroom facilities?
Right. We would use these over here, just right across the bridge. So some added signage, you know, to let people know where it is. It's a short walk from the parking lot. For serving food purposes, we would just have, you know, paper products, so toss, you know, they can toss it away, so we're not washing plates. All that type of stuff. So,
did I hear you right? The washrooms are
right
in the building itself.
Right on the back side of that.
The restrooms he's referring to.
Over here?
Yeah.
Yep. And then just over the door.
I didn't know that's legal. Not to have bathrooms in the building itself. That's okay. I don't know what you said.
We'll find out. I believe it is. I believe it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a couple of the ones up in Milwaukee don't have restrooms right on the premise,
I don't think there's anything, you know, illegal about it. It's just it's not ideal, obviously.
Because I think you're
drinking a lot of beer, you're making a lot of trips.
You see a lot of people.
But I think you're looking at it as more as a temporary thing versus a, if this was open all year round, then you'd probably have to do something permanent, you know?
That's all I have.
I was hoping with a comment that I'll bring a couple questions to the forefront. That is, I think this is a very interesting, intriguing concept. And I do believe something like this is a quality of life issue that Kenosha could benefit from. I've seen one of the ones in Milwaukee, I haven't seen them all, but I have seen them in other places. And really, it is more of a family type thing from what I've seen. It's multi-generational. And the emphasis isn't really on pounding beers, it's about being outside, having a good time. It's almost a throwback to an earlier era. It's kind of a, you know, Kenosha largely had a Germanic population during the first wave of immigration. This was very much, you know, what it was all about back in those days. So conceptually, I think it's really cool. In terms of what you're doing for your operation, what would your proposed months of operation be? Do you have a...
We kind of follow suit with what they're doing in Milwaukee. I believe it's April and May is kind of the opening dates for them, and then October 1. Were you just up at one recently in the last couple of weeks? I think some of them might go a little bit farther into October, but the one that my friend runs up there, they are open until October 1, and then they're done. They kind of have their Oktoberfest, and then they kind of close it up with the year. So.
And some of them are weather dependent. If
you
do have a great fall, might as well keep it.
Might as well keep it up.
Yeah.
And just on the infrastructure thing, you've already got water and sewer there, and you're saying sewer would have to be augmented with a grease trap, but the infrastructure is there in place currently.
The basic utilities are there. There need to be some upgrading to those utilities.
And for electrical, probably for sure, because you're going to have compressors and refrigeration, that type of stuff.
Right. We were actually surprised how much electrical that building
There's a lot of electrical in there.
It looks like it was upgraded within the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, but there'd be some adjustments to that. Yeah.
So significant modifications to the structure as we see it currently. Are there significant things that would be apparent to the naked eye in terms of having to reconfigure entryway and access or not really?
Only interior.
Okay.
Because the floor in there right now is pretty shoddy, so basically like a skim coat, maybe a staining of the concrete type thing, and then the kitchen area has to be built to code, obviously. And then other than that, not too much in there. I would probably like to get some fans and stuff because it's all wood in there, so it's not a lot of airflow. Some lighting and those types of things, but it'll be a favorable investment to the property. So, like he was saying, if our terms expire or we leave there, whatever it may be, that $60,000, $80,000, $100,000, it stays there. We can't take that out, obviously, besides the equipment and stuff like that. Everything stays there. So,
and then last question, assuming we do the approval of this, timeline from basically your ability to get in and start working the property until you're ready to open your doors, just estimate that way.
April or May would be nice.
Yeah. Because we are going to, a lot of stuff has to be ordered. Picnic tables are going to have to either buy them at a huge cost or make them. So the idea is probably to make them. There's actually a local guy on Highway E in Green Bay Road that sells picnic tables out front. So
we're thinking about talking to him.
It's our first stop, you know. That would be the timeline.
That's my question.
Ray, did you say that the county would get a percentage of sales?
Yeah.
Has that been negotiated yet?
It has not. So we've talked some general parameters so that we could, but we really couldn't really do anything until language was actually changed, and then we'd enter into kind of full negotiations. The goal would be that we wrap up negotiations before the end of the year so they then could get all their stuff in place from a construction standpoint. I know that they've had some contractors out looking at things, so they have a pretty good idea of what they need to do and how. But then they had the time to get that in place first quarter so they could open for April, May type of a launch.
Okay, thanks.
All
right,
thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had one other question. as it relates to the action that we're taking and the clause that was added, where it says, shall be subject to revocation by the county at any time. I'm a little concerned about this gentleman making a rather significant capital investment, and theoretically, by what we're saying here, you know, after they make that investment, we can revoke potentially their the permit to operate there. I mean, is, am I reading that correctly?
Go ahead, Bill.
I can speak to that. I had a conversation with Corporation Counsel this morning after reading this last night. I just wanted a few things to clarify. And in having a conversation with him, his information he put forward that when you have a contract, it's going to have some certain standard clauses in it. And revocation, non-performance is one of them. So by doing this, this is probably just going to mirror the actual contract between any entity, whether it's Kenosha County and these gentlemen here. And my purpose was to have both documents be in sync. So that's just the purpose of it.
Yeah, and then and that's fine. Thank you for explaining that. And I'm not an attorney.
So do the terms of the contracts, are they validated?
The way I read this is that whatever contract that's put together can be revocated at any time.
Well,
I would say that
would be spell out the terms of the contract. This really is the more general document. The document you sign or any vendor signs would be more specific to it. So it's just trying to make the thing as complete as we can. But still, the details will be in that contract, not as complete as you see.
Can I speak on that?
Yes, please.
Just basically, I drafted it originally without, we had the revocation in there, but then there was an idea of bringing it to at any time without prior notice. It's strong language in the ordinance itself. You know, you could do it that way, or you could just do it with the contract, or you could do it both ways. It's favoring the county, obviously, to have it in the ordinance, but there's going to be an agreement, whether it be a lease agreement or some kind of vendor permit, that could address the same issue. In other words, it wouldn't have to appear in the ordinance language if you didn't want it to, but if you did, it's like, you know, suspenders and belts. It's in both.
And thank you for that. And again, from my perspective, as an officer of the county, I'm certainly most interested in protecting the citizens of Kenosha County. And the way I see it is that it's pretty clear that it says, whether it's by permit or by contract, it shall be subject to revocation by the county at any time. So regardless of whatever contract is put together, you have to fall back on what the ordinance says. And if we do, for whatever reason, after 30 days, after they make a $100,000 investment in this property, revoke them after 30 days, I would think that that might result in some kind of lawsuit to recover the funds that they put into the property. So, for me, this is really, really sticky. So I mean, I'm not the attorney. I don't know what's the right thing to do, but I would say the ordinance supersedes whatever contract is put together between the county and these gentlemen.
You're right, it does. So we could do one of two things. Naturally, the contract we are going to see, and the county board is going to approve. So we could rely on the contract, and you could remove that portion of the ordinance.
And Mr. Chairman, I agree that that's one avenue. Another avenue, again, relying on the attorney's opinion, you know, to put in some language in here that says revocation's got to be due to cause. You know, that they have to actually do something to be revocated. You know, like breach of contract, whatever. And this just says, I mean, willy-nilly, we can just say, see you later. Take your money and go.
Correct.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, the language seems to imply kind of an open-ended revocation or the ability of the county to revocate it under, from sort of generally, it almost implies sort of an arbitrary thing. If either the conditions were spelled out where under these circumstances revocation could take place, or in the final contract, I'm not an attorney either, but I'm just saying these things, in the final contract with them specifying the actual reasons for revocation, wouldn't that be sufficient even if this language stayed the same way? Or would it need to be, would it need to be added in?
Well, you could add four words. You could add, you know, revocation by the county for cause by agreement or for cause by contract. And I think you would then, I'm talking about the ordinance language, you would then, you know, obviously then you'd be deferring to the agreement.
When you say cause, you mean a breach of contract of some sort?
Right, I mean, that would be spelled out, what cause could be, it would be spelled out in the contract itself.
And then under these circumstances, whatever those might be.
Right, and that would be negotiable, obviously, between the parties as far as that, the contents of that for cause.
I think that makes sense.
Supervisor Gilmore.
I have a question. It doesn't really regard to the reading of the ordinance or how the ordinance is written, but you guys kind of briefly touched on you're going to be investing into this infrastructure that's already there. Do you have a dollar amount?
Yeah.
Or
roughly, yeah.
Right, what are you thinking?
It ranges because right now there is some sewer blockage. If we go on the low side, you know, we're talking $5,000. If that sewer line gets any cracks or anything like that, we're talking $30,000. So it could shift from $5,000 to $30,000, and that's just to unplug the sewer line.
So overall investment, what are you thinking, ballpark figure for what you're going to invest?
$60,000 to $80,000.
$60,000 to $80,000. Ray, let me ask you this. Is there going to be any investment of tax dollars going into this project?
No, we don't plan anything, I think, right now. The sewer that he's talking about, we've actually got decent information that it probably, there's a high probability we're not going to need to do anything to that sewer. The sewer exists. There's a partial blockage, but partial as in less than 30% blockage. So it's, and so, we don't anticipate putting anything, I don't think, Matt, is there anything?
That original study was done this year with our whole entire sanitary sewer system, and they, the contractor came back with a 3-year plan how to take care of the whole entire sanitary sewer, including this segment was part of it. So that would probably be a discussion with our public works team as far as how to phase the whole entire sanitary sewer system. That was done prior to even them being in the picture, just to clarify that. It wouldn't be tax dollars to benefit them, it's tax dollars to benefit the whole entire structure of the sanitary sewer system.
So the short answer to your question is no, there wouldn't be any tax dollars.
Okay, if, for instance, you know, these guys come in and things are going great, and then all of a sudden there's an issue that comes up. Is it their issue or is it the county parks issue? If something happens with the infrastructure or the line that's going in there now, the well, the water, whatever, is it an issue that this business is going to take care of, or is it an issue that...
If it's something that we would have taken care of whether or not they were in the building, we would still take care of it. So if a tree falls on the building's roof tomorrow, we would still take care of it. If they were in there operating as a business, we would still take care of it. That would be our, because it's still our infrastructure that we own. So if the sewer did end up getting clogged at some point, not as a result of grease buildup, with tree roots, that would still be on us, because it's our, we have to do that whether they would be in there or not.
Okay,
so that would be the way to look at it.
Then how does that work with liability issues? So this is still county property. They're renting and leasing it.
We have to be insured on that property.
You're going to hold your own insurance.
Yes,
on that.
They'll give the county a certificate of insurance.
Correct.
Just like Pringle, all the other entities that operate mm-hmm. like that. When we have Oktoberfest, they have to give us a certificate of insurance.
I think Bill Grady was next.
Just on this contractual thing, if you look at the two end sentences, the only proposal I really made would be the two words that say prior notice. Other than that, the document is essentially what it is. So I don't know if it really clarifies if there's anyone in more direction, but that's what I'm sure.
I just want to be clear, the percentage that we would receive from these gentlemen, is that considered the lease money, or is there an additional for the building?
Yeah, that would be considered our payment.
That's our payment, yeah. So that covers that.
Yep.
Okay.
So as I see it, I'm not sure where everyone is on this, but is there enough interest in chasing or changing the language here to or do we want to discuss it as is? If not, I believe, as corporate counsel said, in four words you can change that. I think that you can be protected by your contract, as well as being protected naturally with the ordinance, but we see how people feel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would corporate counsel please mention again what verbiage you're proposing to add the tail end?
Sure. I mean, what you could do is put in after the word county, and I'm looking at the very last sentence, the one that we're talking about here. You could simply add the words for cause, by agreement, for cause, by agreement terms or agreement or lease terms. That would be as simple as you need it to be, which would then kind of turn the laboring or from the ordinance at that point over to the terms of the agreement.
So it shall be subject to revocation by the county for cause by agreement?
Right.
At any time?
Yes.
I would make that motion to amend.
Second.
Sent by Supervisor Grady. Any discussion on that? If not, on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That carries. Amendment carried. So as amended, we're looking at this. Any other questions for the Supervisor Pope?
Thank you. Ray, you said for sure there's no cost to the county on infrastructure on this, right?
Correct.
Okay. And is this just initially going to be this one park, or do we have, you know, ideas moving to others also, or?
We have no plans to move to any other park. That said, if we find out this thing turns out to be a real enhancement, where it does generate revenue that can help offset our park operations, tax levy dollars, we may. I'm not going to say 2, 3, 5 years from now it may not make sense to look at expanding it. But we'd want to really be comfortable that this was a good thing that made sense for the whole operation, for them as well as us. So that's how we'd go into it.
Okay. And my last question is, you know, why wasn't this mentioned at last week's budget meeting then?
Because we didn't get a formal proposal, and that's why when the chairman mentioned, he said, is it ready to mention? And I said, not yet. That's why, because we hadn't gotten a formal proposal, and then we pushed them, and we said, you got to have it by Thursday. And so then this was all put together in a formal way, and then we talked and hurried to get some language put together. And so that's literally why.
Yeah, because I remember the meeting last week. They said, you know, we've tried before to get something like this going and haven't been successful, so I was stunned to see, you know, this.
We never talked about a beer garden last week.
No, you might be thinking of the golf operation.
Golf operation.
Where we tried to contract out golf.
I guess I'm just getting beer mixed in with all of those.
And that hasn't.
I was talking about alcohol sales at the golf course.
Okay.
And I have hinted, and everyone that's here knows that I've talked a little bit about this, but I couldn't really come up with it because we didn't have anything concrete. But not once have we talked, and especially last week, we never talked about this.
Thank you.
Supervisor Gilmore?
I just had a couple comments. I would be for changing this ordinance, just for the fact that it would make it easier for Oktoberfest and these one-time events, things on county employees. I am not in favor of alcohol sales in a county park. I'm a mother of seven. I go to the park to enjoy it. Not to say that, you know, there would be anything bad happening, but I'm just not in favor of alcohol sales in a county park. So
you're against?
I'm not against changing the ordinance to benefit what we're already doing, but in order to, which, I mean, I would be okay with changing the ordinance, but we're not voting on this today, so.
Correct.
Just making that clear, you know, and maybe my opinion will change as we get more details and things like that, so.
So any more discussion? Otherwise, on the ordinance.
Move to approve as amended.
Supervisor Bashir?
Second.
Second by Supervisor Wenzel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're approved. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Pepper Center Pier. Pepper Center Pier, we're proposing a beer garden at the end of the Pepper Center.
That's a great idea.
Both of these were kind of housekeeping issues that we just, the two issues that we needed to get addressed before the end of the year were the clean air smoking one and then this one. The other two we figured, since we're going to have a special meeting anyway, so let's get some housekeeping done too. So the next two basically have to do with establishing a right of entry permit process, which we don't have currently. And how this came about was Matt happened to be over on the bike trail near Parkside, and there was a contractor driving heavy equipment over the bike trail, the paved bike trail. And he's like, okay, what's going on here? Oh, we're going to this guy's house. He's putting up a swimming pool or a fence, mm-hmm. whatever it was. And he was driving over the paper. Well, wait a second. Do you have a permit? No permit. We don't have a permit process for that. So literally these types of things can take place without us having any control over the situation. And so all this is an attempt to address this, because it happens on county right away on highways as well. Not as often, because most of the work that takes place there is by utilities, and utilities, Gary gets them daily from the utility companies requesting entry so they can do work on theirs. And it just makes sure, it minimizes the potential for damage to occur to anything. And that's basically the spirit of what this is too, just so that we have knowledge of when people need to go across a county park, bike trail, any county property to get to something they need to get to, that we have knowledge of. This would set that up. This doesn't establish the actual permits. This is just establishing in the ordinance the ability to have a right of entry process. We come back to the committee, just like we do kind of like for golf. We set the golf rates in February of every year, or March 1st. The committee sets those golf rates. It doesn't go to the full board. This committee sets it. This would be that same kind of process. So we come in the first quarter, because we got to do a little bit more research to see what we want to propose for actual permits. But we'll come back to the committee for committee approval of that so that we can put those in place. But an ordinance needs to exist first to give us the mechanism to even do these things. So that's basically why it's before the committee tonight.
Any questions?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Grady, second by Supervisor Bostrom. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Next one is truly a housekeeping item. I believe the Kemper Pier was removed in 2011, maybe? 2010. It's been gone for a few years.
Yeah.
But there were still ordinances that referred to it in very specific terms. And Ian, again, kind of looking through, Matt discovered, hey, we should really clean up this language. So this is basically doing that. It's just removing any reference to the Kemper Center Fishing Pier because it doesn't exist and hasn't existed for a few years. So it's housekeeping.
Can I get a motion on that one?
No, I mean,
Supervisor Crinkle, seconded by Supervisor Gilmore. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Clean air ordinance.
So this one has an interesting origin as well. It was earlier this year, I'd say maybe March, there were a couple of folks vaping in the courthouse halls. And I believe one of the judges noticed it and brought it to a state trooper's attention, which I'm not sure if they have the jurisdiction or the county deputies, but in any event, it was a state trooper that was made aware of it. And they did a little research, because there's state troopers in the building. They have an office in the courthouse, so that's why it was e-cigarettes. It was an e-cigarette, yeah. It was a vaping-type device. And he did a quick check, and there's nothing against vaping in the courthouse. So that was kind of the original incident that had come up, because there wasn't any ability to deal with it. If you wanted to vape in the courthouse or any county property, you could do that, which was not really consistent with the intent of the state law, because that, I believe, has since been modified. I'm not 100% sure of that. In any event, that was what brought it to our attention, and then we started to talk about it in the context of health insurance and impact on statistical impact of smokers and health insurance costs and all this. And you start to look around and you find out there are many, many organizations that have adopted smoke-free campus type guidelines or rules. And that's basically what this does. You can see our current language is up above. The language as amended, that's been drafted by Corporation Council, to basically make smoking, basically all of the county campuses would be smoke-free. So not just in the building, smoking on the premises would also be prohibited. I can tell you the first time I encountered this type of thing was about 15 years ago at a plating company in Lincoln, Nebraska. Now, I obviously was working for a manufacturer at the time. This is the plating company that does all of Harley-Davidson's decorative chrome on all the bikes. Impressive company. Platers are notorious as being dirty, filthy, always skirting the law, just barely being compliant. These guys, because of what it is they do, they're the world's leader in duplex nickel chrome plating, and they were so progressive. 15 years ago, they had a smoke-free campus and a plating operation. Blown away. That was my first exposure to it. I asked a bunch of questions, and then we adopted a similar thing at the manufacturer I worked for not long thereafter. Now, if you go to healthcare institutions, it's pretty common. College campuses, pretty common. And more progressive companies, private health companies, are adopting the same kind of guidelines. Twofold or threefold. One, from a maintenance standpoint, from the impact on picking up cigarette butts and all that goes with that. That's one impact. Second, probably largest impact, is health insurance costs and the impact on folks that engage in smoking. It's no secret. Statistically, they're way over from a healthcare standpoint. So those are probably the two biggest things. Three would be the productivity gains that would be put in place by eliminating the unscheduled smoke breaks that everybody knows everybody takes when you smoke cigarettes. So those take place in all county facilities currently to a limited degree because they can go outside and smoke. This would eliminate those. So there's probably three benefits from doing this.
John?
I have a question. I am not a smoker, but I just have a question. If someone is a county employee and a smoker today, where do they go?
So they typically will go outside of the building. At the Sheriff's Department, they literally go right outside the building. Their state law, I think, says you have to be 25 feet from an entrance, right, if I remember right. And that's about it. I think they count it off, and they smoke right there. Courthouse is similar. This building is similar. So typically, that's what folks do. Job center, similar. Brookside, there's actually an outside, quote-unquote, smoking lounge that people use there.
So with this new language, they wouldn't be able to do that then?
Correct. They would not only not be able to do it there, they would not be able to do it in their vehicle if it was parked on a county, in a county parking lot. So it's a smoke-free campus. It's hardcore. You're not smoking. That's the intent of it.
That's so strange.
It's
especially if you have a smoking problem.
Yeah. It's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. The way it's exactly, you can't be, and that's kind of where we're at right now. Is we've got where folks does every person go out only at their scheduled break time? I would say Bob's sitting here. I'm sure he's going to tell you that's not the case. So
what we're after here is employees,
right?
And the huge expense that we incur on our health insurance through the employees as well. So whether it's in their car on county property, I mean, if an attorney pulls up to the courthouse, he might toss a cigarette out and walk in. That's not what we're talking. I mean, that's still going to be against the ordinance if you're on city property out there at the curb. So we're looking at county employees. And if you notice, county-owned vehicles also, which is a kind of a problem, and we're exempting the parks and golf courses, except for within 25 feet of an entrance. So people out in the parks, they're still going to be able to have a cigar or at this beer hall, you know, that type of thing.
Is it fair to say, though, that obviously smokers, not all of them are going to be able to quit cold turkey, and that they're going to end up walking across the street on their lunch break?
But
and smoke? Would that be allowed?
But we offer cessation help and right now with our plans and things, so it's...
The desire would be that people take advantage of the programs that are offered, the smoking cessation programs and things. I believe.
We're working with the Kenosha Tobacco Free Coalition,
mm-hmm.
and they will help us in setting up those resources for employees
who need to smoke, you mean?
Well, who want or need help quitting so that they can avoid. The inability, for lack of a better description, to run out and have a quick cigarette any time during the day. We are also putting a smoking surcharge on the employees who smoke in the health insurance. So those are two initiatives right now, both of which we hope will discourage supporting what Supervisor Elvin said, and that. We have if you don't mind, just one brief little editorial, we have a great wellness program. Our wellness program has got national attention because we have 83% participation. Great wellness programs take an active stand against smoking, and it is time for us to do.
I agree with it from a health and monetary perspective, absolutely. I'm just wondering, it's pretty draconian. I don't know how many smokers in the county ruling.
I think just in general, it's declining. We can't have people rushing across the job center into the neighborhood. That will be discouraged as well. And I think you guys know.
15 years ago, I remember Ben Frater when they started. It was at least 15 years ago. This is nothing new.
No.
Supervisor Bassett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this ordinance also prohibits smoking on the public sidewalk that's adjacent to these buildings as well.
Correct.
So, I can't remember if they're there right now, but do we have ashtrays outside the buildings as you walk
there
in?
There is. Yes.
And are those going to be removed?
They are.
We anticipate there's going to be, from Mike's standpoint, probably an increase. Right now it's not good at the job center, safety building, Brookside, I'm going to say. There's a lot of cigarette butt trash. We anticipate that actually spiking probably when this first goes into effect, but then should eventually taper off and go down very, very low over time. But that's kind of what we expect when we take that.
Got it. Thank you.
Question?
Yes.
Okay, I have just two little questions in regards to this. First one, it says, utilize any nicotine or nicotine substitute delivery device. I mean, are we going to like start searching people for nicotine gum, patches?
No, gum would be exempt. And that's vaping devices.
Just the vaping devices, okay. And then the second one I had a question on was in their private vehicles. This is not even the county-owned vehicles, but this includes the interior of any private vehicle located in such a location. I mean, are we infringing upon their rights?
Not on county property if we pass it.
It's on county property. If they're parked not on county property, then...
It's not just them. It's not just our employees. It's everyone.
Right.
That's happened for years. Thomas Bulmer, that's happened for years. You just learn, and you just don't do it.
You just violate the law or the ordinance.
No, you don't. I mean, you seriously do learn. And then people can, or they can stop, or they can, they know when they can, or they can do their, you know, before they get there. But it's very simple. It's just a matter of mind over matter. And once employees know, and it is a problem. It's a financial problem because of our health insurance. It's huge. So, I mean, we have to do something. And these people, I shouldn't say these people, I hate that phrase, the people that cost us the most by more than half are your smokers and people that are overweight, people that don't take the wellness programs. That's where all our money's going. We're $3 million over this year on health insurance.
Is this going to be monitored in some way? I mean, I know I work out of the safety building, and I see exactly what you were describing every day. So there's a lot of people that smoke, and they're going to have a problem with this, as somebody mentioned. Is this going to be monitored, or is it just going to be once the ashtrays are taken away, things will, are you just expecting it to kind of take care of itself? Or?
No, we anticipate we're going to have to put up some signage, but we're going to look at very tasteful signage. Mike's identified some from healthcare institutions and college campuses that does it in a really good way. It doesn't do it with the cigarette, with the red circle. Sure. Now, so we're not going to plaster all the buildings with that. We're going to have stuff that is a little bit more instructive. From a signage standpoint, and then we do anticipate people testing it, just like anything else. When the law goes into effect, you know, people don't wear seatbelts, so they get pulled over and they get spanked, and then they tell their relatives, and eventually everybody figures out, oh, I can't do that anymore. Okay, and that's what's going to happen with the smoking thing. We expect people to push it. We'll write a few tickets. The word gets out, and then the majority of folks.
Who is writing the tickets?
They'll be sheriff's deputies. For the public.
To themselves.
For the public. Okay. Yeah, to themselves, potentially, right? Potentially, right. It'll be, and then there's employee issues that will be handled administratively. There's not going to be like the smoking police going around, but by the same token, if somebody's doing it, supervisor is aware of the situation, it gets handled just like any other work issue.
The hardest core smoker can handle something like that. You know, I was on the Twin Lakes Village Board 30-some years ago, and at the meetings and at the county board, there was ashtrays. We had a smoke eater above our desk 30-some years ago at Twin Lakes at the county board. They were smoking cigars. But all of a sudden you say, it's not allowed anymore. Well, it's not allowed. You know, so you change. Hardcore people can change. The biggest thing for the county here, what we're talking about, is financial. It's huge.
Good investments. What will we save?
Bob could tell us what our health insurance costs are.
Right now?
Yeah, we're going up $1 million tomorrow. I hope. I'm going to present an increase in the health plan. The employees will be contributing a higher level to the plan. And it's hitting exactly the areas I already talked about, smoking surcharge. Employees who do not participate in the wellness program will pay an additional 5%. And as you achieve higher levels of participation, that increase will be smaller and smaller. But the wellness program is a good thing, quitting smoking is a good thing for health programs, particularly self-funded. And so those are the two heaviest areas that we're going to go forward with. We had a very bad year, and 53 cancers, not all smoking related clearly, but 53 cancers is compelling. and those are the hardest and the worst types of illnesses on an insurance program because, you know, like ours, because they're a lot of money, but they're not so much money that they hit the stop loss coverage. And I hate to talk about something emotional like cancer in kind of a dollars and cents way, but it's true. And so the plan alone is carrying, and we hope these people get well, we want this, but the insurance is for us all. But we need to get kind of more directly involved. So like I said, we had a bad year, and it's not just the cancer, there's a few other things. So, but
what percentage of people smoke?
We think it's about
20%.
In the wellness program, they identified 47% within a recently cut window. So it's about 10 years. But active cigarette smoking or active any kind of smoking, I would say it's about 20%, 20-25%.
That's high.
And that's very high.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I kind of agree, like Supervisor Franco, it seems like it's kind of draconian, you know, doing this to the employees there. I mean, not that I don't even smoke, so. But, you know, to ban vaping, which to me doesn't seem like a harmful activity, but, and especially in your own car, you know, if you're in your own car. I used to have a boss at a previous job. She always went after a car and smoked. And she was the head person there, so, you know. So I just think it's a little draconian here.
Thank you.
I just want to make a comment. I'm too not a smoker, and I'm not condoning smoking, but I am not for infringing on, you know, people's rights within their private vehicle. So I can't, I'm not going to support it.
Anything else? Anyone?
Well, real quick, to Supervisor Gilmore's point, can that be amended, or is that the trend where we...
So the reasoning behind insurance? The reasoning behind it is not to punish people.
Right.
The reasoning behind it is actually to keep from a productivity standpoint, because now if we say you can smoke in your car, so people at park blocks away will do just that. They will still take their 4 or 5 breaks unauthorized and go and smoke those cigarettes in their car. So rather than allow that to happen, we said, that's the same reason that we looked at the sidewalks. We specifically said in there, anything that's maintained, so we plow the sidewalks, even though it's a city sidewalk, because that's exactly what would happen. Folks would then find another reason to go and rather than enable that bad behavior, we're saying no, you're not. You pretty much ferreted out all the different things, so you gotta quit, okay, that's the deal. And the reason you gotta quit is because there's 53 cancers, and it's really for your own good, but whatever. The bottom line is it costs the county taxpayers money. We're not gonna support it, so that's the spirit of what's behind it.
But plus they're not taking breaks. I don't know what you get, you know, but like my guys take a break, actually, whenever I left, but they take maybe a few, but when I worked for a more controlling employer years ago, there was a 10-minute break in the morning and then lunch and, you know, another 10 or 20 minutes. But these people, you know, and Ray and I went over this and I questioned a lot of this too. And Ray said, you know, with the 20%, we've got people taking 7 or 8 breaks, you know, sneaking out of the courthouse. It's big, apparently, by the safety building, the job center. I guess there's not that many here at the highway department, but there's 4 or 5. But I mean, these are people that are not taking, when you're addicted to something like that, it's big time. And if you can't mentally control it, some of us can, some do, you know. I never smoke at all, ever. Ever. But you have people that can't control them. And if they're taking 7 breaks that the next guy's not getting, that's not fair, and it's costing the county a lot of money. And it's because of addiction. So you gotta help them. Where's it going?
Could we change the wording so it read something, you know, it says no person, could it say no employee of the county? or something of that nature. I know we're after the employee, but this is very, it says no person, no one.
You mean at the beginning, like the 1, 2, 3, 4?
Additionally, no person may smoke, use tobacco.
So where you're going, just so I understand, is the citizen that comes to the courthouse or has a court date, they want to go out in their car and smoke as a citizen, mm-hmm. as opposed to an employee. I personally, for what it's worth, as an administrator, have no problem with that. I'm concerned about that from an employee standpoint. You know, that's where it's costing us money and productivity. From an enforcement standpoint, may cause, you know, because then do we know if the person's an employee or not? So right now, the way it's consistent that nobody can. But I understand what you're saying. So I guess I'm looking at John to see what he thinks.
I didn't actually draft this. Joe did, but and so I'm not real familiar with how all-encompassing that preface language or whatever it is that you're talking about. I mean, I think you could. If you're talking about just strictly the private vehicle part of it, I think you could distinguish between employee and private citizen or other person. I just don't know in the draftsmanship of it where that would be.
Well, part of the problem, I mean, I'm very familiar with the safety building, and that is, you know, you've got jurors coming in, you know, in that area. I mean, here they're doing their duty. Are they going to be penalized? Because they don't really realize what this ordinance reads. So if there was a compromise here somehow, because I'm not against, you know, I kind of agree with what's been said in general, but, you know, but then here we've got someone doing their duty, you know, their civic duty, so to speak, and you know, they possibly could be punished for smoking in their car on the way in because they're nervous as it is.
Yeah.
I don't know, so I was just, I don't know, is there a compromise here?
If I may, thank you. I appreciate that. I think Joe put some language in there that there would be some kind of warning, wouldn't there?
Yeah, there would be a warning.
So if it is a person like a juror who's there really just on a one-time basis or, you know, for a matter of days, there'd be a warning about that so that they would be on notice and they wouldn't be ticketed or cited at least initially. That was my understanding from what Joe was talking to me about. So, I mean, there you have it. There's your warning in terms of a citizen, right. Private citizen.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate the comments of my fellow supervisors. Personally, I'm going to have a real hard time voting for an ordinance that is solely to be enforced on our employees. I mean, if that's what this is supposed to be, then we should maybe instead of creating this ordinance, actually discipline our employees for taking more breaks. So. I mean, if that's the road we're going to go down, I'm not voting for this because it's just an ordinance countywide for just our employees. If it's an ordinance because you think this is the right thing to do because smoking's bad and you want to create non-smoking campuses, I'm okay with that. But if we're just going to create an ordinance just for our employees, I'm going to say no, personally.
So it's not, as I said at the very beginning, that's why the vaping is in there. That really, the roots of this started with a vaping incident that happened down at the courthouse. And so it still is to create smoke-free campuses, one, to prevent or, let's say, discourage overall the community's health. We consistently, you see the articles in the paper, we're at like the bottom, near the bottom of the barrel for overall community health as the health department continues to struggle with putting programs in place to pull that up. One of the biggest things is smoking. So as a general policy statement, is it good that the county be visible that it's against smoking and doing what it can to discourage it on its campuses? I think that's good from a public policy standpoint. I think two, for our employees, that part of it, that's definitely good from public policy standpoint as well as a financial from a taxpayer standpoint. And three, probably from an overall cleanliness standpoint of our campuses over time, it will be better from that standpoint as well. So I don't see it as, it's not again to punish anyone, it's just to discourage what behavior is costing the community money. So that's really where, as administration, that's where we're coming from.
That's right, well.
Okay.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. Supervisor Bosworth brought up a great point. So that leads me back to been duly warned. Does that mean once, twice? Is there a limit to the warning? Based on this meeting, is it, I mean, it's not specified. So it's not specified, and that juror comes in, they can be warned, the employee can be warned, but then you're more likely to find that employee doing it again than a juror that's not always at the courthouse. So then maybe it still can work the way it's written. So I'm kind of brainstorming here, wrapping my head around it. So.
Ultimate comment, and I do take sympathy to what both Supervisor Gilmore and Supervisor Wormwood brought up. You have people that access these areas. You know, you have a farmer coming in from the county, he's smoking a cigar, he has to do business here and the whole thing. Of course, he's not walking to go to a cigar. There's no way that person should be penalized. He's in his private vehicle. Yes, it's on county property, but that's not the intent. The intent of it is basically more of a policy decision. Same thing with an after-hours situation. People come here for different meetings, different purposes, and so forth. They want to smoke in a private vehicle, and they're just coming and going. I don't think it should be legislated here on the books where they're penalized for that. So I think I'd be very receptive to an amendment to differentiate between county employees who are basically here for a specified period of time, for a specified purpose, being paid by the county, and those who are just coming and going as a general public. I think there's a large differentiation.
I, in general, really kind of torn on this issue because I see both sides of this. I see the health and financial side, absolutely, I think that's important. But then it seems like the language is a little too squishy for me. Some of the variables are not tight, and I'm a little concerned about how this plays out, how it would be regulated. So I'm not really sure. I almost feel like the language was different. I think it could be worded if there was a distinction between employee or non-employees, or given certain circumstances, if it was clarified in some way. But the way it's written, I have some problems with.
How about we did something as simple as sat down and everyone came up with their biggest problems with this? This isn't urgent that I know of, right?
They just wanted to, if we were going to do it, we wanted to incorporate another thing to put in the resolution and
right.
Kind of tie up some loose ends.
Because we could make it as simple as to leave one of these conditions is to say during regular business hours. That would take care of people coming in evening to meetings or whatever you're thinking there. But the whole idea here, and believe me, people adapt. I adapted. Like I said, Freighter 15 years ago, you couldn't go near. I don't think there's a hospital that you can go near. There's not a school that you can go near and do it. You said you have 7 children. You must know people can't smoke at the school, Supervisor Gilmore. So, I mean, that's not being prejudiced, correct?
Oh, I didn't say anything about prejudice.
Right.
I'm just saying, are we infringing upon the right of the person to smoke within their own vehicle? It's
right, but if you listen to Ray there, he says they'll run out to their own vehicle. I mean, we literally have a lot of this because we have employees that.
Well, then maybe it's an employee issue, and we need to address the behavioral issue versus the smoking issue.
But they're
nice.
Yes.
Right. I get it. I see it, and
okay,
I'm not.
You have to think of this separately, okay? From the employee's perspective. The work rules will change, and they are proposed, and they will be presented to the committee tomorrow night on a change which discusses employee smoking on the premises. Okay, so that's a change in the work rule. The things that are going to affect employees are the smoking surcharge, which is not at all uncommon by employers to charge smokers a little bit more for their insurance, and change. Prohibits smoking on the premises by employees. So that's that one. The smoke-free campus is a county-wide, and to the extent that you might take the car issue up or something like that, it likely will not affect employees. So but you know, they come together because they're both coming in the same budget message. But the employees and anything having to do with smoking on their behalf is being handled through the workplace.
So we could theoretically take out smoking in vehicles.
Well, again, I
vehicles. Because that's addressed in employee work rules, you're saying. So if we took it out of this, so the members of the general public wouldn't be subject to that, it wouldn't inhibit our ability to enforce it from an employee standpoint.
The county work rule will be amended to read as follows. The use of tobacco products, including but not limited to cigarettes, cigars, pipes, and smokeless tobacco, and the use of electronic cigarettes, is prohibited on any county property with the exception of golf course and parks. This includes county-owned and operated parking lots, cars parked on properties, and sidewalks surrounding the county property. Now, the ordinance clearly drives that language, but this is the language that will affect it.
So we could alleviate some people's concern if we just deleted this includes the interior of any private vehicles located in or on any such location. Correct?
Right, because the work rules address that.
For non-employees, maybe.
Yeah, we're going to have the word employees in there.
So if the intent is to exempt the members of the general public, the farmer that's driving up and has got a cigar, is going in a building to get a planning permit, that person that we don't want to create a problem for that person, then if we modify the language as the chairman is suggesting, but I think we still need to indicate, you know, a reference to the work rules. Employees are subject to the work rules as defined, because otherwise it would. And I'm kind of looking at John, but I know Joe was the one that drafted all that stuff. So
I think it could be done.
But if we did it that way, then we could still have the intent of what we want from an employee management standpoint, and still create, from a public policy standpoint, the smoke-free campus and what goes with that. But at the same time, we don't penalize a juror that's here doing their civic duty, the farmer that's coming in to get a development permit. Is there smoking in their vehicle?
There's nothing in here in that whole section that says employee. So if we...
It just says person.
So if we just struck that sentence, this includes the interior of any private vehicle located in or on any such location, that would take care of two of the objections from supervisors here this evening. That would still allow people that came on jury duty to have a smoke before they got out of their car. Bob says the rest is addressed in the employee manual that's going to be changed here, then we would be fine. We still have a smoke-free campus, which most every public building is. We're not really...
Right, we still sign it that way.
Yeah.
Right. So at the last sentence, are we just warning employees who've been...
Now, the ordinance should not be specific to employees.
No, that'll be for the general...
The ordinance is for the general...
You don't have to change any other schedules than that.
So, if there's further discussion, great. Otherwise, I'd move to make the amendment of Supervisor Alderman striking that one phrase and move forward and adopt it.
I'll second that.
Move the second to adopt with the exclusion of the sentence that reads, this includes the interior of any private vehicles located in or on any such location. So that would be struck. And then as presented, any other discussion? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It carries.
Are we going to sign these?
Sure.
Yep.
Question.
Yes.
What is the smoking surcharge going to be?
$100 for family and 40 for singles.
40 for singles?
Yeah.
Okay. For the month? Oh, yeah.
We're about to buy about four packs now.
Yeah.
No, they're pretty expensive.
No, you should.
Yeah. Very expensive.
This is what you said, it's like three, 23 years ago.
I was just trying to remember, it was something about something. What was the purpose we put in for the revocation of beer permits?
Four con by three.
There we go, four, thank you.
I just wanted to make sure before we, when I want to bring up.
Oh, go ahead, Rick.
So I had polled all the department heads since the November meeting would be like in 2 weeks. And given that we've had three meetings in October, I polled them to see if there was anything pressing, resolutions or financial things or anything. Nobody has anything, so I proposed to the chairman that we not have a November meeting and just go with our December meeting. It'd be November 7th.
Or not have it.
Matt and Mike don't want to have some written things you want to report for 2 weeks?
I'll hold my comments. As much as I like to see you all.
I can go with Mike.
We're going to have it on December 24th.
You're by yourself.
Third year on the board.
Thank you much.
Thanks for being here, John. These are confusing.
I know.
Thanks. No, we didn't adjourn. I have a motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
Are we signing it anymore?
Yes, we have to.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Supervisor Franco.